Great to be with you again today. And whenever I come here, you always get built up. This is a wonderful environment to get built up in your faith and encouraged. And so it's really good to be with you. I'm in a different church every weekend, and I want to tell you that doesn't happen in every church. Not telling stories out of school, you know, but every weekend I'm in one or two or three different churches, and the year's almost gone. Wow. Look in the shops and all the Christmas decorations are out there already, you know. My granddaughters tell me that their VCE and university exams are done or just about done, the end of the year. Some of us have got 2020 dates in our diaries already with things that are going to happen. And the year marches on, and 2020 is ahead of us. 2020 is a year of promise for us. It's a year of possibility. It's a year of potential. We got to go into another year with that attitude, don't we? We can't just let the days tick over. We need to look ahead to see what the possibilities are, yeah? To see what the potential is. You know, 2020 is my promised land. 2020 is where God has something more for me. I go with that expectation. I lean into the year that is ahead. My wife and I talk about it, what the possibilities are, what can happen in the year that's ahead of us. And so it's a year of possibility, but it's a year of challenges. Because unless we overcome the challenges, the promises don't happen. We have to subdue the challenges to get to the promises. Isn't that right? That's the principle of Scripture all the time. The promised land was there for God's people to take, but it needed the giants to be subdued. It needed the walled cities to be subdued. The promises were there, but it was a journey that needed to take. So God gives us the authority to overcome the challenges so that we can receive the promises. That's the principle that God has put in place. When you look back in Genesis, where God created man, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, God said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. See, the likeness of God means that we rule. To be in the likeness of God means to have authority to be able to rule in life. When we're in the likeness of God, we can rule in life. And the more that we come into the likeness of God, the more authority we have. The more that we're like Him, the more we can rule in the environment of our life. The more that we can take hold of the land and the promises that God has for us. The more that we come into His likeness, the more authority we have. The more authority we have, the more areas we can rule in. See, the promises begin with the ability to take authority. When I can take authority over my emotions and over my feelings, then I rule in my life. Better is he, the Bible says, who has rule over his spirit than he who takes a city, than he who has authority over a city. And when I can take authority over my body, then I can rule in health in my life. If I can take authority over my feelings, I can rule in my relationships, and I can know the fruitfulness that God has for me, because ruling is about fruitfulness. When you look back in Genesis there, God said to Adam and Eve, who he created to have authority, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. See, we have to be able to subdue the circumstances around us in order to know the fruitfulness of life. When a farmer wants fruitfulness out of a paddock, before the law of sowing and reaping can take place, he must subdue the ground. He must get out the rocks. He must deal with the thistles and the thorns. He must dig the waterways. He needs to bring the land into submission so that it can become fruitful. So before the law of sowing and reaping can take place, we must be able to subdue the land, bring our environment and our lives into a place where it is subdued, and it is in a place where it is ready to be fruitful. That's what the Bible teaches us from the earliest principles, because God created us to rule so that we could be fruitful. That was the whole idea of it, and to subdue the land, because God wants us to be in a place of fruitfulness. Amen? That's what God wants, but it's not what the devil wants. And so God gave man every authority in Psalm chapter 8. There you'll read through verses 4 to 6, and it says that God crowned man with glory and honor, made him ruler over all the works of his hands, and you put everything under his feet, everything that was, so that he could have dominion, so he could subdue, so that fruitfulness would follow. So he had authority over everything except one thing. Over all the trees of the garden you may eat, God said, of Adam and Eve, except one. That one tree was the reminder that there is a greater authority in the life of mankind. Adam and Eve had total authority, but there was a greater authority. And the tree was a reminder of the greater authority. Don't get carried away with yourself. Understand where your authority comes from. Understand who it is that rules, and as long as you are under his authority, you will have authority. Step outside of his authority and you lose your authority. You may have man-made authority, but you will not have God's authority any longer. And so in the tree was that lesson for Adam and Eve. And when they stepped outside from under God's authority and ate of the tree that they were not supposed to, suddenly their world changed. Before, everything was in submission to them. Now suddenly the world changed. Thorns and thistles began to grow. Suddenly, deserts began to form. They had to work with the sweat of their brow because they placed themselves into outside of the authority of God in an unauthorized place of authority where they thought they could rule without God. And everything changed. And that's, of course, what the devil wanted. He wants to bring hardship, complication, disappointment, and burdensome areas, and not the fruitfulness that God wanted for us. And so Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, but with a promise. God doesn't leave us cast out. It's with a promise. There would come a land flowing with milk and honey. There would come a land of shalom, of heart peace. There would come a land where God would be their God and they would be his people. This was the promise to the Old Testament nation even before it was formed. So they were cast out, but there was a promise. And when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden and they began to talk to their children, they said, "We're cast out, but there is a promise. There is one coming. There is a promise of a land that is yet to come. There is going to be a place of fruitfulness once again, because that's the place God has for us, that place of fruitfulness. The ground was cursed because of them, but there was a promise that was coming." It was in the Old Testament, it was the promised land. In the New Testament, we have other promises as well. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, we read that God has given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desire, and so that the corruption wouldn't overtake us, but that God's fruitfulness would be found in our lives. In our lives, in our families, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our health, in our finances. That's what God has for us. So I live in the promise that the corruption of evil will not touch my life. And if it does, it's going to be healed and restored and renewed, because I'm living in the promise of God if I will subdue the land and be able to see the fruitfulness of God. I live in the hope of better days because of a better promise that God has for me. but I must meet the challenge of it, and I must subdue it so that the land can become fruitful around me. I must subdue my emotions when they want to come out in anger or in frustration, so that in my family fruitfulness can happen, because you know that if anger is expressed, fruitfulness doesn't happen. You know, if frustration is expressed, fruitfulness doesn't happen. You know that if I don't subdue my body and exercise as I do, fruitfulness doesn't happen. You know, if I don't subdue wanting to hold on to my finances, fruitfulness doesn't happen. We need to be able to come to a place of authority over all the circumstance of our life by placing ourselves under the authority of God, placing ourselves where He empowers us so that we can be empowered to exercise that authority, so that we can see the fruitfulness that God has for us. Can you see that principle that God has there? And so we need to learn to subdue, need to learn to overcome, need to learn to exercise authority, to enjoy fruitfulness. If you go to Revelation chapter 3, not now, but sometime read it, you'll see seven times in that chapter where God's promise is made to God's people. He says, "To him who overcomes will I give. To him who overcomes will I give. To him who overcomes will I give." There's always this principle of overcoming in order to reap what God has for us. And so we need to learn anew how to rule and reign with authority in God, how to walk in that place. And so when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, it was with a promise that one day again there would be a land that would flow with milk and honey, that where heart peace would occur again, where God would be their God, where God would walk with them. And so one day the people of Israel stood at the Jordan River ready to enter back into that land. They were ready to take on the promise. They were ready to get the fruitfulness. They were rubbing their hands looking forward to it, that the promise was going to be there, that the fruitfulness was going to come. The years in the desert were going to end. The years of being slaves was going to come to an end. We're going to have our own place. We're going to have the promises of God are going to come to pass again. And there they stood, and suddenly they discovered giants. And suddenly they discovered walled cities between them and the promise. And they stared at the giants, and the giants stared back at them. And they stared at the giants, and the giants stared back. And they stared at the men on the walled cities, and they stared back. And they blinked, and they turned around and went back to the desert, because they weren't ready to subdue the giants and the walled cities to get to the promise, because they didn't know how to walk in the authority that God had given them. He'd given them the land. They had the authority over the land. It was theirs. It was written down. God had it earmarked on the map that He had in heaven there. Belongs to my people. Doesn't matter that other people were living there. It belonged. They already had authority. They already had the key to the thing. They already had the promise of the thing. They already had the testament of the thing. But they needed to go in to possess it. They needed to subdue it so that they could know the fruitfulness. 2020 can be a year of fruitfulness, can be a year of promise, can be a year of potential, can be a potential realized in our families, in our relationships, our education, our work, our income, our finances, our church life. It's just there waiting for us. God's got it earmarked. God's got it penciled in. God's got it written down for you and for me in the year ahead. But they're going to be the challenges. We've got to subdue it. We've got to get into that place where we rule over our own spirit, where we begin to rule over the circumstances that may have held us back in the past, but it's not going to do it for the future. We need to come to that place and have authority. Can you see it? That's where you stand right now. You and I stand at that same place, but we don't want to blink. We don't want to turn back, but we want to have faith. My wife and I, we sat down and we looked at the year ahead, and we wrote down the things that we're looking forward to, the things that we're believing for in faith, the things in our families and relationships and finances and future and ministry. We wrote them down, and believing that they are the promises of God for 2020. But we understand the challenges that are inherent in them, but we're not going to blink, because we talked about the fact that what needs to happen for that to happen, this needs to happen. Well, God's got to be good to us. God's got to be powerful for us. God's got to be mighty for us. God's got to be there for us. But we're not going to blink, because we're believing that we can subdue the land in 2020. Believing that we don't need to go backwards, but we can go forwards in the thing that God has for us. I live in that promise, but we're going to face the challenges, and we need to take on authority. Because when God's people stared at the giants and the giants stared back, suddenly they realized how small they were. And they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. They weren't looking at God, they were looking at the giants. And they compared themselves and they said, we're not able, we can't do it, we're not big enough, we're not good enough. And they turned back from that place of taking hold of their authority, because they were smaller than the giants, but in God they were much bigger than the giants. They had the authority to use and to subdue the land, but they blinked and they turned away from the promise. That Australianism of, yeah, nah. Got in their heart. Yeah. Nah. And they blinked and they turned away and they went back. And the Bible says they went back to the leeks and the garlic, for goodness sake. They could have had milk and honey and they went to leeks and garlic. I mean, really, right? The promise of milk and honey was there. Now, if some of you like leeks and garlic, I'll pray for you afterwards. But they went back to the overseer's lash. They went back to bondage. They wanted to go back there. Now, they didn't, but they wandered in the wilderness for another generation, because doing nothing is easier, but it's hard. Doing nothing's easier, but it takes you to a hard place. And 2020 may be a place of challenge, but it's a place of opportunity for you. Turning back isn't the way forward for any of us in this place today. We don't want to turn back from the conviction that God wants to bless us. We don't want to turn back from the vision that is ahead of us. We don't want to turn back from exploring the possibilities of God. We don't want to turn back from the future that He has from us. We don't want to turn back from building the relationships that are possible. We don't want to turn back from making a difference in the year ahead. Do not turn back when the cities, when the walls appear tall and when the giants appear large. Do not turn back. Understand that you have the authority to subdue all the circumstances around you. It's how God created you. And the more you become like Jesus, the more authority you have. And the more authority that you have, the more you can subdue. The more you become Christ-like, the more authority you have. It's how God created us to be in the beginning. Amen. And so as we work on becoming more Christ-like, as we're more like Him because of the Word and because of the Spirit, you'll find more authority will come into your life. You'll be able to speak with authority. You'll be able to walk with authority. You'll be able to think with authority. You'll be able to plan with authority. And confidence will come into your spirit, so that no circumstance that comes against you will cause you to quail in your spirit and to go back. But you'll be able to step forward into the things that God has for you. Amen? Because God doesn't call us forward to take us backwards. God doesn't show us the path to let anything stand in our way. God doesn't show us the future to consign us to the past. God doesn't give us great promise and allow us to settle for less. That's who He is. Because His heart for us is fruitfulness. Do not turn back in 2020. Do not let a year take control of you, but you can take control of the year. Do not let circumstances rule over you, but rule over them, because the innate authority that you have, but it's time to move back under the authority of God in the way that we live, in the things that we do. It's time to step back under the authority of God, so that we can have true authority in the circumstances of our life. Amen? So of all the mistakes that God's people make, it's to turn back. Some of them turn back from salvation. Some of them turn back from serving God in ministry. Some turn back from faith and vision. The Old Testament again and again is full of people turning back and prophets coming along saying, don't turn back, go forward. and declaring prophetically the promises of God, the potential of God for them. If you don't go back, this is your future, is what the prophets keep saying. But they keep holding up the future because people are wanting to go back all the time. And so they keep wanting to hold up the picture of what can be so that they go forward in authority. We need to take authority for 2020. Amen? We begin to take authority for 2020 by writing down our vision for 2020, our hopes for 2020, the path for 2020, the things that we need to walk for 2020. Don't just let the day tick over from 19 to 20 without having a vision for 2020, for having a hope for it, for having a desire for it. See what God has for you in this next month before it begins to tick over. Just dream with God, vision with God, walk with God. What's there, God? What's my promised land for 2020? And when the challenges come up, because the picture's fantastic, but you'll think to yourself, oh, well, I don't know. Oh, I'm not sure. That's when you need to use the authority that God has given to you and say, I am well able in God. We can in God. I understand that there are giants, but with him, I'm more than able, to do these things. And so even in the New Testament, in Galatians, Paul writes, how can you turn again back to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Surely not. There is more than one kind of bondage. Sometimes we're bound in ourselves and bound to just the things that we think we can accomplish, and bound to by limitations, bound by temptations. But God wants you to be free in a free land that he has for you, to appreciate all that he has for you and that's waiting there. There's stuff waiting for you in 2020. God has it for you. In Hebrews chapter 10, 38, it says this, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And so the encouragement is always that the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, God's soul shall have no pleasure in them. And so we don't want to draw back, we want to go forward. Faith takes us forward, doubt takes us backwards. And so the man and the woman that pleases God are those people of faith that can move forward. That's who God takes pleasure in. The people who have faith in him, believe in him, dream in him. So that's who God takes delight in, the people who live by faith and don't draw back. Thank God that people stood at the Jordan and people weren't prepared to take authority. 10 leaders would not take authority. The leaders of 10 tribes would not take the authority that God had given to them and take on the promised land. They laid down their authority. The fathers of every family in that tribe would not take on the authority, though they'd been telling their kids, all those years about the promise that was coming. Now, when it was time to take up the authority, they weren't prepared to take up the authority. Parents weren't willing to take up the authority. Tribes weren't willing to take up the authority and move forward. Only two men, two tribes, Joshua and Caleb were prepared to do it, but they were outnumbered and outvoted. But thank God there always were some. And in the end, Caleb and Joshua came to their promised land. Joshua and Caleb were able to exercise authority over the next generation and take them across the Jordan and subdue the land that was in front of them. Although it took David even 500 years later to fully subdue the land, that Joshua and Caleb could have subdued. But Caleb at least subdued the mountain of the giants and they took the hill country. But always God was pushing them, subdue more land, take more authority. Oh, but the Philistines live in the low country and they're too big for us. No, you have the authority. And it took David 500 years later to fully take on the land that God had for them. He's always looking for people who'll take full authority, subdue the full land, take on the full promise that God has, not just a little bit of it, but all of it. Can you see that that's the pattern that God has for his people? Thank God that there are always people willing to. When God spoke to Abram, if David 500 years later subdued the land, 500 years before Joshua and Caleb, Abram came along and believed by faith. And God said to him, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land, to the promise I will show you. And he walked through the land of promise, but hadn't yet received it. That was 500 years before Caleb and Joshua. God has a plan. And though the vision tarry, it will come to pass if we're prepared to exercise authority. Somebody's prepared to use faith. Somebody's prepared to walk across the land and see the breadth of it and the hope of it in the year that's ahead. Amen. And so in the New Testament, we read in Mark 16:15, where Jesus said to his disciples, you must go out to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. There's a world to be won. There's a land to be taken. You must go out there. And even though there are challenges to overcome, you must go. And in Acts 8:26, where God came in the word to Philip, go south to the road, to the desert road, the hard road, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Go down there. I want you to go there because you're going to bring the word of life to people down there. There's a land to be reached beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea. There's another land that also requires the promise of God to come to it, because God's always looking for bigger and better outcomes and for people who can take a hold of them and move forward, whether it's for families or marriages or businesses or churches, to look for those outcomes. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the Lord said to Abraham, go forth to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. But the great nation began with the going forth. It began with the taking of the land. It began with subduing the land. And the great nation followed, and I will bless you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of the coming of the Savior through your lineage. But it began with one man willing to go and take the authority of that land and walk the breadth and the length of it. And then people who came after him to subdue the land. Abraham was going to do something great. The land represented something amazing so that the world would be blessed. The disciples started the process of the gospel to the whole world. Philip opened up the way of the gospel into Africa to be reached because people were willing to go and subdue and go and take on the hard thing. And so even in the world today, you know, people have heard of Abraham, they've heard of Joshua, they've heard of the disciples, even unsaved people have heard of them, but they've never heard of Shemua and of Shaphat and Igal and Palti and Gadiel and Amiel and Sethua, Nabi and Guel. Most of us have never heard of them. They were the 10 princes who turned back and were never heard of again. But people who were prepared to take authority and subdue the land, to see the fruitfulness of God. We know their names, but they blinked and they died out in a generation. Other people saw overwhelming challenges, but they saw the wonderful possibilities. Caleb said in Numbers 14:8, if the Lord delight in us, who does the Lord delight in? People of faith, the people of faith, the people who are willing to move forward. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And Abraham had the same thing said about him. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. By faith, that's who God delights in. And it relates to your journey and to my journey. That's the principles of Scripture. We need to appropriate the truths of it into our lives and the circumstances of our lives. Numbers 33:53. Take possession of the land and settle in it, God says. For I have given you the land to possess. I have given you 2020 to possess all the promises that it contains. I have given you the future. It's in your hands as you will take authority over your life and the circumstances of your life, and not allow every other authority to rule over you, but take authority over your life. The promises are in that place for you, because friends, possession is not passive. It doesn't just happen. Too often in Christianity, we get this idea that God's just going to dump it all on us. But, you know, God takes us out of Egypt. That's His doing. He takes us out of slavery. That's His doing. He forgives us our sins. You know, He makes us His children. We can't do that, but He does that. But coming into the promised land, He expected His people to subdue the giants, to take the cities. He expected them to work with Him under His authority. So often we spend our time saying, God, when God's going, Ian. Because it's a partnership. He has created me to have authority. He's created me to subdue the land. He's taken me to change the environment in which I live so that it can be fruitful under Him. Amen? It doesn't just happen. I don't know if I've told you the story. We all got lots of stories. I want to close on the story. And if I have, forgive me, but if you remember it, it'd be a miracle. I mean, really, if people could actually remember sermons, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Hey, you know, I mean, if you could remember the principle of what I'm saying today, tomorrow, when the rubber hits the road, wouldn't that be a miracle? You know, sort of thing. You know, but Paul said it through the foolishness of preaching, right? You know, and so we keep doing it, right? The preachers keep preaching, and. So if you could remember that tomorrow when you walk into your workplace, you have authority. Amen. When you go to that school, you have authority. When temptation comes, you have authority. When doubt comes, you have authority. Tomorrow, yeah? So my mum and dad had a stroke on the same moment. Mum died. Dad got really affected, you know, put in palliative care. He's going to die. Mum knew the Lord. Fantastic. We had a wonderful funeral. And one church for 52 years. Served God. Place was packed. It was great testimony. So she read the Bible to us. My dad burned Bibles. Yeah, he was a heathen. Right? That's his word. And so he couldn't die, because if he died, what would happen? Go to hell. That's terrible. So Mum had prayed for him for years. We prayed. We told him the gospel. With whatever. Shook it off. But Mum told me God made a promise to her that Dad would be in eternity. Said, there's a promise here. I was in that palliative care unit. And I said, God, there's a promise here. But there's a challenge here. I guess I should say to you that we were preparing for them to come and live with us because they were old. And so we sold our house and we were building a bigger one, and that was going to have rooms for them, you know, kitchen, lounge, bedroom, everything. But the builder wanted a fortune to put a second kitchen in a house, see? So I said, just put the plumbing in, the walls, and then I'll get a plumber and a cabinet maker and fitted in myself, you know. And so this stroke that Dad had when he was in palliative care and they said he was going to die was like 2 weeks before we're going to move in there, right? And it was time to call the plumber and the cabinet maker. So I'm in here praying, God, raise up my dad. God, raise him up. There's a promise in there, you know. And I go home and I say to my wife, it's going to cost thousands of dollars to get the plumber in and to order the cabinetry. God, raise him up. God, lift him up, you know. I don't know if I want to spend the money, you know, really over here, you know. Spit and hiss and, you know, over here, you know, like this, you know. And I'm praying away, saying, you got to do something here, Ian. I'm saying, God, do something. God's going, Ian, you got to do something. I'm going, I know, but, yeah. Yeah. So then it was time to come under the authority of God. Pick up the phone, call the plumber, call the cabinet maker, sign the check, get it done. But you know, I remember walking down one morning when we had moved in, down the hall, turning into the kitchen, seeing Dad there making his breakfast, that God answered prayer. But God also answered the action of faith. There's a cost that we got to pay. There's no charge to bring us out of Egypt. That's a price Christ paid. But there's a cost to live in the promised land. And sometimes we don't want to pay it. But if we do, it's wonderful. And I want to tell you about the evening I walked into my dad's lounge. He's there with the Bible open. He says, "You want to explain this to me again?" And I led my dad in the sinner's prayer at 88 years of age. And I texted to my family, "Dad prayed the sinner's prayer, you know?" And they all came back with pretty lukewarm responses. And I'm going, "What are you on about, right?" And they're going, "Oh, yeah, that's nice." And so predictive text had made it the dinner's prayer, you know? And so I thought he'd said grace, you know? Well, I mean, that's, you know, moving in the right direction, but it's not exactly the sinner's prayer, right, you know? So there's some stuff that you want to see happen in 2020. And the promises are there, but there's some stuff we need to do to see those things happen. God can do what he does. We need to do what we do. Amen? Will you stand with me? I want to encourage you. My dad was 88. I don't care how many years you got to wait for somebody to get saved, but you keep believing for it, working for it. I don't care how bad a circumstance is or a situation is, where health is at, where finances are at, where relationships are at. God can bring us into our promised land. The desert was tough. God sustained them in the desert, but it wasn't a promised land. God wants to bring us into a place of fruitfulness. That's why he created us in his image, so that we could exercise the authority over our circumstances and situations and our environment, so that that fruitfulness can happen. That family unity that you pray for can still be the promised land. Restored relationships can still be the promised land. That health situation can still be the promised land. The security for your future can still be the promised land. That ministry that you had in your heart can still be the promised land. That intimacy that you look for can still be the promised land. Do not settle for less. You're going to have to exercise authority. So get under God's authority. Use the word of authority. And you can see it come to pass. God has plans for you in 2020, and they are good plans. They're the desires of your heart, and he longs to give it to you, but it's a partnership. There's discipline in the natural over our bodies to see the health that we want to see. There's discipline in our emotions to see the relationships we want to have. There's discipline in our spirit to overcome in all the areas of our life. And as we spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit and spend time with the Word of God, you'll be strengthened by might in the inner man. A part of that strength is the authority that comes from God. And with that authority, you can subdue the doubts and the fears and the temptations. You can subdue the habits of life, and you can know the promises of God. 2020 is your promised land. You stand at the Jordan. Let there be an expectation of milk and honey, and let there be an awareness of giants. But in God, you're well able. Amen? Lord, I pray for every person here right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that you love them. Thank you that you have a future and a hope for them. Thank you that you know their days in 2020 to come. Thank you that you've heard their prayers and are aware of their hopes and their aspirations. I pray, God, that you would renew the hopes and renew the vision. I pray, Lord God, that you would paint it in Technicolor again for them, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be an expectation for 2020 in our hearts. And Lord God, that we would be able to, with desire, to overcome the things that stand between us and the promise, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would empower every person here as we move to become more like you. I pray that authority will come. I pray that it'll come, Lord God, in their spirit and in their hearts. It'll be heard through their voices. It'll be seen in how they walk, Lord God. We declare it in Jesus' name. With authority, we declare, Lord God, relationships knit together. With authority, Lord God, we speak, Lord God, jobs and income, Lord God. With authority, Lord God, we speak, Lord, health and vitality and restoration. Lord God, with authority, we speak overcoming habits and temptations, Lord God. We declare it, Lord God. With authority, Lord God, we speak, Lord God, that nervousness will be gone and assurance will come, Lord God. With authority, we speak, Lord God, that night shall be slept through, Lord God, without fear and without worry, Lord God. With authority, Lord God, we speak today in this place, Lord Jesus, that your promises will be yea and amen in every life, Lord God, we pray. And everybody said, let it be. Amen. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you.